won't you? I've always loved that particular piece of music that we have before and after the gospel. It is both a poem, but also the music is was written by Ralph Vaughan Williams and has a certain appeal to it of inviting God, of inviting Jesus to come and to give us wisdom and to give us news, to give us something we can hang on to, something to help us in the day, to help us see things more clearly. I often wonder where we might find wisdom in our lives, where we might look for those things that are eternal, as our colic says, versus those things that are passing. And I want to tell you a couple of stories. One of them is I remember being on a youth mission trip. And if you've ever done any physical labor in your life, you know that there are ways to do the things that will help you to kind of make your body last. And we were gathered in this place. We had a large trench to dig around a very large space. We had lots of labor, about 40 to 45 people that were going to work with us. We had lots of good shovels, and we were doing it all by hand. And so we were going after it, and I'll just kind of let you guess, there were kind of two styles of workers. You ready? The first was one that did something like this. Okay? The second, which was the more prevalent kind, was someone who did something like this. Okay, who lasted longer? Part of it was some of us had had more experience or had learned how to sustain ourselves through many hours of working. While others, it might have been the first time they'd really done that kind of hard work or all kinds of things. And I remember one of the people who'd been around for a while who'd worked construction kind of gathered them up and said, "Let me show you a new way to dig." And I don't remember all the comments, but it took a while for everyone to kind of learn how to pace themselves because we had a lot of work to do and we had a short amount of time to do it, but you couldn't exert yourself so fully into that work without wearing yourself out almost immediately. Now, have you ever been really frustrated, angry, jealous? Have you ever had that kind of energy or emotion in your life? It's exhausting, isn't it? I'll tell you just a little story to get an example of that. We have a new dog in our household. Some of you might have heard us talk about that, little Judo. She's sweet, kind, lovely. She's just not quite housebroken, or you know, or and she's kind of like a toddler on, I don't know, on really high doses of caffeine. And everything, for some reason, needs to be tasted and chewed. You know how that is. And so one day, all the kids were gone at school. Kelly was out of town. I was in a hurry, and you got to water the dog. Got to let the dog go outside and do its business. And it takes a while, you know, and sometimes you lose patience. So we've been outside for 15 or 20 minutes, and Judo was smelling and tasting and running around, but not doing what we needed to. And like most people, I spoke logically to the dog. "You really need to go to the bathroom. I'm in a hurry. Go potty," as if the dog's going to understand anything I'm saying. And then it's about time. I'm like, okay, maybe she doesn't need to go. I've got to go, so let's go inside and get you put away and do all the stuff that I got to do. So I take her in, and guess what happens? As soon as we walk in the door, about 10 feet in, she squats, and there you go. And you're like, "Why couldn't you?" You know. And I keep thinking about my Korean friend who always used to say to me, "Why do you have animals inside your house?" And, you know, you keep thinking all this kind of stuff like that. And you know, you're just flustered. And I just, the amount of energy just in that little bit, you know, of frustration was exhausting. Because you kind of get all flustered and stuff happens in your body and you get kind of all worked up. Well, think about some things that we hear in scriptures today. We hear in the first lesson, a reading from wisdom, from the wisdom literatures. This is a collection of literature that were sayings or wise things that people were passing on. This particular part talks about a woman who is honored and some of the things that she has done in her life. You could take woman or man and change it around a little bit, and either way you hear things that are good lessons for all of us. To work diligently, to focus, to care for your household, to make your energy wise, to lift up those who are around you, to care for others. There's all kinds of good wisdom within that piece. If you look at the rest of the scripture around it, there's all kinds of other sayings for people who are leaders and rulers and those who are following, and all kinds of things about how to kind of make the work make more sense, to be more purposeful about what you do, to be more focused. And sometimes to help us know that whatever it is we're going through might be passing but for a moment, and yet there'll be other things that come along. You might remember a more famous piece of the wisdom literature called From Ecclesiastes, and there's a famous rock song made about it in the 60s. You know, there's a time for everything and every season. There's a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to eat, you know, a time to sleep, a time to rest, a time to kill, a time for war. There's time for everything under heaven. Sometimes when we read those lessons, it kind of makes sense and you get a longer view. But think about what James says. He says, if you're caught up in the envy, caught up in the anger, caught up in being boastful, you've got it wrong. You know, it's kind of like we can go through our life and we can expend so much energy in the wrong things. It's as if we're those energetic diggers, digging as hard as we can, and we just don't get it right. And when that happens, what happens with the work, the things we might be called to, the better things in life get passed over. And there's too much effort and in the wrong place. But yet, when we find that wisdom, when we find that direction to do things a little better, when we find that way that might make it make more sense over the long haul, things change. So the apostles are walking. Jesus, I don't know if he's a little behind or a little ahead, but hears them. And they're focused on the wrong thing. Jesus says, "What were you talking about?" "Oh, nothing, sir." But who would be first? Who would get to sit at the highest place of honor? Who would be the number one disciple? Didn't know there was competition. Who would be the closest to Jesus? Who would be all of this? Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried to be in first place? Not just in a race or in sports or something like that, but tried to move into the best position. It's always a challenge for us. I think as humans, we're drawn to that for some reason. Just spend any amount of time you can in a junior high school or high school or college or even a work environment, and you see this happening all the time. We fight for that position as if it's the most important thing, and maybe it isn't. And then Jesus offers this wisdom. He says, "You've got it wrong." He takes a child and places them among them and says, "If you seek my kingdom like this child would, you'll get it. Serve others. Don't seek the top position. Wait." In other translations and other versions of this particular part of the gospel and in some of the other gospels, it says, you know, take your seat at the end of the table. Wait to be moved up. It says, don't go about this. This isn't what it means. This isn't what I'm talking about. But serve others. Help others. Don't worry about the position, because it's not something that's important. What's important is how you live. It's how you go about things. It's that you care for others. Now think about that for a minute. Think about how much effort we put in the wrong things and how much we're really called to find the right things to put ourselves into. I remember on another place, and I think we went to Haiti, or maybe it was in Venezuela, but we had taken bubbles with us. You know, the kind that you blow and they float around. We have them all over the place here, right? They're fun, and if you ever have a little kid around, it's nothing more fun than blowing bubbles, right? Well, wherever we went, we took some bubbles with us, and we were blowing bubbles with the kids. Wherever we would go in this particular place, there were just tons of kids around. And I don't know that they'd ever seen the bubbles before. It was something kind of new for them. You want to talk about joy and excitement. These bubbles were floating around, and they're playing with them and balancing them, blowing them around. More, more, more. I mean, we got through one bottle, got through a second. We could have spent hours blowing bubbles with these kids. It was such an exciting thing. And I've always thought of that image when I think of what Jesus says in the scripture. To accept the world, to accept the faith as a child, is to accept it with joy and anticipation, to seek after and to explore, to want to know more. Marie Montessori always said that the natural place for a child is to learn and to absorb the world. And Jesus is asking us as his disciples to be excited, to be joyful, to be present, to seek after the kingdom, just like that. So what if, in your daily life, you sought after wisdom in that way? What if you asked the questions? What if you're willing to look a little deeper and to say, am I spending too much energy on the wrong things? What are the right things? What if we dig a little more into Scripture? If we ask a little more questions of those who maybe are a little further down the road than us? What if we're willing to explore with depth the deeper meaning of life? It won't necessarily make everything better, but it might make things very different. You might have a whole different focus and a whole different way. But then again, maybe being exhausted is better. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen.